I don't know what could have prepared us for Latvia. We had no idea what we were to experience. Flying in, we flew on this little plane here, flying in and flying over Riga, we came in and saw the devastation and rubble from the worn, torn history of the land. And it was the end of winter, and it was to the eye, everything was bleak and black, and the blackness from the death of the natural earth covering, blackness because the snow had covered all the ground and there was no sunlight to get through, no warmth and nothing that could supply any nourishment. And it was a direct parallel for us to the people who were at the end of an era of the rule of the Russians, the communists, people in their own land feeling black and bleak because in their heart from years of oppression and the inability under the communist regime to discover the light of the world, the word of God and the warmth of the world, the spirit of God working through those people who believe in him. That was the botanical gardens on the day that we arrived. It was pretty sad. Bleak, black, and no sign of life. But we were in Latvia for just a few days, and just as in those few days, there was the warmth of spring and the glimmer of hope and the start of the greening, the last of the snow melted, the signs of change, the signs of growth and development had begun, and we too soon discovered that the work of CareLinx in Latvia had brought the word of God to so many people, bringing the light into their world and giving them the chance to discover love and nourishment to enable their growth, their development, and their journey to Christ in faith. I can't speak on Colin's behalf in this particular part because for Colin, he was really inquisitive and he was really excited to be going to Latvia. He had a great desire. He'd had the benefit of travelling all around the world and had been in many places, some pleasant and some not so. But for me, this was the first time I'd ever been overseas, apart from having come as a migrant 46 years ago and a quick jaunt or two to New Zealand. But for me, I had lots of fears. I had lots of concerns, and I really did not know what to expect. And flying in over Riga and seeing all that rubble and devastation and the blackness, I could not get over the blackness. We'd just had spring in Europe, and to see the blackness, it was just, I didn't know what to expect. And I think, too, I had the memory of, as a five-year-old, going to school for the first time and not speaking a word of English and being in a group where nobody could understand you and through utter frustration climbing out the window and running home. And my concerns were here we were going into a land where not very many people spoke English and how would we communicate well enough to be understood? To be within a group and not be able to share thoughts or your ideas, to feel like you're lost in a crowd, that was a real experience to me. And that whole feeling of being inept and unable to do anything about it was something I was very fearful of. And it was a very, very real fear. So whilst Colin was gaining excitement at the prospect of going on for an adventure, I was full of trepidation. And were my fears allayed when we got there? Well, no, not really, not at all at the first instance. But it was really nice to see a friendly face when we got off the plane and there was Duncan waiting for us. But he was on a mission. He needed to get to the refugee camp prior to the curfew of visiting hours. And so we jumped off the plane, into the car and drove along the streets to the refugee camp. So having seen the blackness from the top, I then saw it from the ground level. We drove past derelict buildings and rows and rows and rows of fencing with barbed wire And it kind of looked a bit like the concentration camps that you see on the movies and prisons. And I didn't feel any better at that point in time. I'd wondered what we got it into. And then when we got to the refugee camp, I had to pass over my passport. I have a very active imagination. I kind of had visions of being stranded in Latvia for quite some time. As I saw my visa walk out the room, and I even imagined a racket of false visas being happening. But that was all allayed in the finish. But it was very scary at the time to know that that was your only ticket out of there and it was gone. You didn't have it. But despite all of that, we then got the opportunity to meet with a refugee. And that was a very pivotal point in my coming to terms with the fact that we were there for something really special, and it was when I started to see how special the things were. Refugee camp, the people that were in charge of it were dressed in military garb. That was pretty scary. But they were pleasant enough, and they quickly brought in the detainee that we were to meet and we'd come to visit. And we were really pleasantly surprised because we found a young man who was well clad, who spoke English reasonably well. And together we opened the Bible and we shared God's word and we read his favourite chapter. It was a chapter from John. And this particular young man, Sherwin was his name, his future at that point in time was really dubious. He knew that he had put in his application for refugee status and his case was to be heard at court in a couple of days after we were there. And he knew that if his status was denied, that he would have to go to his homeland and that meant certain death. So he was not in a very nice place, but he had an incredible sense of calm. And that incredible sense of calm came to him because we shared his favourite reading, the one reading that gave him hope, and we discussed our understandings of that meeting in the time that we were there. And that, to me, his expression of faith, his belief in that time of turmoil, and his calm was a very settling influence on me. And then my journey in Latvia began. So that was nice. It was very good. From the refugee camp, we went to the home of Cindy and Duncan and their little daughter, Evia, and it was lovely. Moving from all of that rubble and towards greater signs of civilization was a great reflection of how my feelings were changing too, from rubble and concern to greater appreciation of what was opening up to us in our experience of Latvia. Let go. Let God. Don't make a mistake. It was not when we went into an elite or grand part of Latvia, because Cindy and Duncan don't live there. They actually live right in the community with whom they deal with. They live in the poorer part of Riga, and that was actually really good to see that they were living amongst the people that they were dealing with. We went to the Bible study meeting and Colin was to lead it, and he'd gone to great lengths to tap into the needs of the community, and I'd been asked to lead some sort of cooking or craft activity with the women. And even though I'm a teacher, I had great difficulty in working out what I could do with a group of people who were so vastly different, an unknown quantity. We didn't know how many we were going to have. And also to have any particular equipment available to me, knowing that we had such restrictive baggage limits travelling to Riga. So I settled on doing some card making. But if you get the opportunity to go there, anything that is a physical activity, anything that takes a bit of time and where you get to talk in a close proximity or get to sign in a close proximity, because we can't really speak to all of them, is something that they really value. Just that opportunity to share time with someone else in close proximity was just magic. The Lilias, all the different people that were there. Very few of the people spoke English, and that was daunting at first. We found that a bit uncomfortable at first. However, we shared a heartwarming breakfast together, and people made gallant efforts towards us, made gallant efforts to say hello in English and to greet us and be warm and friendly. And it was just marvellous how just simple things like smiling or a touch on the shoulder made people feel very comfortable, and they broke the barriers down. And throughout the time that we spent with the group, we did rely on translators and those few who could speak English to help us, and there was no discomfort after that initial threat and after those initial moments. So that was really, really good. And by the time that we left, there were huge hugs all around, including Lilia, and great big kisses, and there were some really, really lovely people, and we really did enjoy their company. It was great to be there. We have fond memories of particular people, and one in particular was a gentleman by the name of Pavel. And during the time that we were there, he stood up in the middle of the meeting and gave this most powerful expression of his faith, his confession of faith and how he had come to Christ. And that had a monumental effect in that it then started to create this conversion of people who all needed to talk, to tell their story about how they came to God. And it was at that point in time that we came to the realisation that so many of them come from the depths of atheism and the oppression of beliefs and the fact that they were not allowed to be Christians, to such a deep and meaningful understanding of who God was and how Christ was in their life. And as these people stood up around the room and spoke of their faith, there were many others in the room where tears were starting to roll down their face, and others were nodding in unison with them as they spoke about their journey to faith. That was a very, very empowering for us. There were many people there. There was one young lady who was talking about her journey to Christ. She spoke of her parents, her father, who was active in actually destroying churches throughout the community areas, and how from that background she came to Christ. And so that was deeply moving, and we were really pleased to be part of that experience. It was a great example of what happens when you let go of what's there behind you and let God come into your life. We had the opportunity to explore some of the nicer parts of Riga as well, and that was a valuable contrast for us in our experience of that area. Riga on the rich side, on the elite side, is very, very pretty, and it's all the things that you see on the internet. But where we were staying and the people that we were with, it was a vast contrast. But you can see it has some really spectacular sights, there are just a few of them. But the thing that we hold dearest from our experience in Latvia is not those pretty sights. They're material things. The thing that we took away from Latvia was the experience of the people, and how in that short time that we were there, they touched our hearts. We hope that we had the opportunity to touch theirs, but they certainly touched ours. And as I said at the beginning, when we left, in those 3 days, the shine of green was starting to come through. There was signs of growth and life and expectation, things to come. And we felt that our experience with the people there through the Care Leagues group showed too that there was opportunity for things to come, growth and development and birth. So for you, any of you who get the chance to go there, and some of you who are just holding back because you're not sure that you can actually make a difference, I just say let go. Let go of your fears, let go, and let God work in your heart and work through you. Visit and enjoy the experience, because it's really worth it.
Are there any gaps to fill in? Actually, I think you did real well. Personally, I wanted to go to Latvia because I wanted to check up on Duncan. No, that's not true. I really wanted to go and see what was happening because I've been getting all these emails, as many of us do, the care links information which we get from Duncan, and we see what's happening. You hear a lot of bits and pieces about what he's doing and about what CareLinks is doing, what other members of CareLinks are doing around the world as well. And it seemed a really good opportunity, but there was a problem. And the problem was that my wife works for, she's a teacher, so we had 2 weeks. And the reason we were going was because Hendrika had turned a memorable age, and so we wanted to take her back to where she was born, which was in the north of Holland. So we basically had the school holidays, and then suddenly it was a case of, I think Duncan's here, come to Riga. So, okay. So the point I want to make is we can do quite a lot in a very short time if we need to. So we flew in on Friday afternoon, and the flight was late, and so we got in Friday afternoon, and that's why we only just got in to see Sherwin at the camp. And then we were out again on Monday at around about midday, and we had to get out then because we had to go to Paris, from Paris to London, from London down to Singapore. When we got to Singapore, we found Europe had been closed by some volcano. So it was a good thing we left when we did. I can't. Can you tell me how it does? Tell me the pronunciation. I know it's something like that. So if we'd been sitting further back in the plane, we made it. So that was primary. That was the background to it. So what I'm saying really is that we can do things even if we're only in a short amount of time. It's worth going and taking a look. Now, as I say, I was motivated to go and actually have a look at what CareLinks was doing, and then Duncan at the last moment asked me to do a series of talks. So we did. Now, Hendrika mentions about the blackness and that, and it's true enough, but remember that we'd be coming in right at the end of winter, and the botanical gardens looked a little bit bereft because, of course, they'd been covered in ice for a while. Now I understand they're absolutely beautiful. So I think certainly the warmth of the hearts that we got from the Heasters and that we got from the people that we met made up for any lack of temperature. And besides, there are furry things you can put on your back to keep warm, so don't let it put you off too much about that sort of thing. As Hendrika mentioned, we went off to see Sherwin, and I think the thing that really got me was, first of all, we went there and all the things that Hendrika said, but this young man, we waited for him to come out, and one of the things that struck me was, clearly, Duncan was well known by the guards. It was a case of, oh, yeah, g'day. Not quite g'day, but you get the point, okay? And so we went in. So he'd been there a lot. It was clear that Kevin is working, doing a lot of work, and it was not just superficial. It's not like someone had said, oh, there are stories being made. It's not like that. He's very well known in this camp and with these people. So, but what got me, I think, was when the man came in, I was expecting someone short and very dark and shuffling in. He came in an Armani suit, would you believe? He was from Iran. And I looked at him and I thought, you know, in a few days' time, if you don't get the ability to go back, if you don't get the ability to stay in this place, you might be dead. And I just looking at him, I just imagining him, someone shooting the poor guy through the head. And that, I understand, is what happens. I mean, I've not seen it happen. I never want to. But it really struck me how important it was that CareLink's not only saving people's souls, if you like, and as much as leading them to Christ, it's a practical thing as well. And we are told so much that there's no point in saying to someone, go and be filled. It's a case of go and fill them up. And that's exactly what CareLinks is doing. It's like saying, well, I hope you don't have a problem when you get back to Iran, and I hope you're okay. Now they've got someone there helping on a legal sense and helping to keep people's enthusiasm going, and so you go. So it's intensely valuable, intensely important to do that, but I only touch on the surface because we got into more. Sure, it was a little bit scary going in there, but I've been in scarier places. I remember walking through strange places in Guatemala and various other places where it was just as more frightening than that. So it's not a bad place to go, I don't think, as long as you're on the right side of the law. Incidentally, of course, Sherwin eventually was released, and he was baptised as too. Now, Duncan had asked me to do a talk, and I thought to myself, what on earth can we talk about? Well, we remember, of course, that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus was a street person, I think. He had nowhere to go. He wasn't respected. He wasn't liked by a lot of people. And there are a lot of interesting parallels here where the people were trying to close him down. He had no real status. But amongst the people he did, like Lelai, she's loud and she's smelly and but she had status amongst the people, but no status amongst the people that matter in terms of government and those sorts of people, and the ones who are rich and would rather not go in the tram with her. Okay? But what is she doing in bringing people to Christ? I'm going to tell you a little more about her later too. Quite important and quite interesting. So what I decided to do, I looked at these people, I thought, who are they? And I thought, well, they're the homeless, the cast off. Some of them, however, formerly very well placed. There are people who have made bad choices, but they were top military people. I understand Leela, at one point, was a top marketing person, one of her leaders in Europe, and what she did. But things went wrong, and suddenly there's the alcohol, there's all the things we speak of, and suddenly she's on the streets, one of these smelly people, which Cindy was cautious about letting into her home. And I'd understand that very sincerely, having met her. I would. But then you hear her heart, they see the gold beating out of her heart as you see all these good people which she has brought in and filled the room up. And sure, some of them come for the dinner, but then some of them come for other things as well, and so many indeed have been baptised. And I have to tell you, when we got to the end of some of the talks, and suddenly Pavel started talking and some of the others, and it all just happened. Duncan couldn't read later, he couldn't translate a lot of it, but they were all talking together. But you could see, and they were getting their Bibles out, and they were flicking through and comparing this and comparing that, and everyone's getting excited. And that is what Keerlinks is doing in Riga. And unfortunately, I couldn't see any other parts of the world, but that was really what was happening. I saw that. It's interesting, some of the people, top military, marketing, uni educators, and just trashed. But there are also some other people there, like the lady Jenna, who's a lawyer. Cindy, some of you may not know, is a medical doctor, qualified. There are other med students, there are educators. So who on earth in their right mind would be going out, people like this with this sort of stature and their ability to make good money and mix with that, the highest stratas of society, and mix with these people? And that is Keerlinks. And to me, that said a lot. And suddenly I was starting to think, there's a lot of gold in here. And so things where I'd wondered before and I thought I had to go and see, I'm really glad I did. And if I can enthuse you, if I can do that by dancing a jig or anything, just let me know and I'll do it, because it's a really important thing to get behind. Now, I'm a bit like Hendrika. I thought, ooh, what am I going to say? How are we going to get through this language thing? I know not a word of Latvian. I know da and yat, I think, are the words for yes and no in Russian. And that's as far as I couldn't talk yet. You know what I mean, is do that. But the thing was that it was really, first of all, Duncan was able to do the translation. And then when he couldn't be there, little Irma, oh, she's a honey. She really is. I understand she was a uni lecturer at one time, I think, nervous as, didn't know how we were going to talk. But then I'd say a few things and she'd say, and then we got on really, really well. So if you want to do a talk to people and you want to work with them, you have huge resources in terms of really warm people which can get behind and help and make sure that you can communicate. What I actually decided to talk on was the whole series was on whom we trust. And on Psalm 146:1, I'll just read this to you. You can look it up if you like. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And this I thought was important to these folk, and to some of us too. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. And that surely had to sum up these people who had lost so much had come from various places and now had found, through all the stuff that had happened, and they were on the street, they knew they would die, they knew they may well die in the cold because there's no one there to look after them. 8 o'clock in the morning, they get out. 8 o'clock in the evening, they're allowed to come back. They still live, and this is in the middle of winter. And someone out there wanted to say, I don't care if you're smelly. Do you want Christ in your heart? What sort of a witness is that? And that was what was happening here. And so these people now are saying, man has failed me. Man will fail me. Where do we go from here? And so this is the way we structured it. First of all, we talked about trusting in princes. And we went through the various different princes that there are. There is government. There are churches. There is society. There are employers. There are professionals. There are families and friends. There is riches. There is self. All of these things are human and they all failed. And all of these people knew that, especially those who were saying, I can do it myself. And they knew they no longer could. So we couldn't trust in princes. The next session we did was on trusting in God. And as Duncan had mentioned earlier today, God wants us to step forward and say, God, I give myself to you. And so it was with these people also. And we could say, God wants us to trust him. He is all-powerful and he's fully resourced. He's totally trustworthy. He loves us, but he tests us. And so we can't expect everything will be wonderful at all times. And we remember Romans 8:28, all things happen together for good to those who love God. And that's so important. And if we can get that sort of message across to these folk, and indeed that's what CareLinks does, then in that case, when things go wrong, still we hear of people who are on their deathbeds and they're there and they're saying, I'm going to see Christ the next thing I see. What a wonderful gift. And that's what happens, and that's what CareLinks does. And no, I'm not a paid advertisement for CareLinks. I really believe, and I, in my heart, I know the work is very, very valuable. The next thing we did, however, the next session which we did was being trustworthy. It starts in our heart, and this is a case of who we have to be trustworthy to. So who did these people have to be trustworthy to? Who do we have to be trustworthy to? And of course you go through the various different people, our friends, our employers, our people on the street, like Leela. She's saying, come on and see what I've found. It's amazing. You are not going to believe it, guys and girls. And so they come in and they say, this is wonderful. This is what God will give me. And so we have to be trustworthy. The next session we did, I entitled it Revenge, Forgiveness and Other Practical Things. And when you think about it, that's what it's about. Because these folk were wanting revenge. They had seen people die. They'd seen so much happen, so many things that happened to them. And they could lie there at night and grind away and think how the world had treated them so badly and where would they get their revenge. And indeed, we can look at that also. But indeed, if we turn that around and then think about all that and who actually gets hurt. And so we spoke about that. And the tears were starting to flow. And I have to say, it was a very, very amazing experience. The final thing we did was the exhortation. And that was where we drew it all together. And that's where dear Pavel, as Hendrika was saying about him, and he talks about things and he gets everyone talking, and everyone was just discussing. And it was a very, very powerful thing. We talk about language and we talk about Pavel. He can't speak any English and I can't speak any Russian, but boy, did we hug. And that just did so much. It was really, really warm. And so we were able to communicate on so many levels because of that sort of thing. Now, in summary, and I'm sorry about the time, but you just have to sit there because I've at the table, all right? Right. Some of these people really did have an amazing understanding of Scripture, and I really mean they did. They got their Bibles out. They were able to discuss this. Pavel did, and others as well. The little old ladies at the back were chatting away. I'm going to turn around. I was like, shh. He must have done it 3 times every hour or so to keep them quiet. But they're enthusiastic ladies which did know what they were talking about and had been baptized for some time. The rigorous ecclesia is vibrant and sincere. Look, honestly, those numbers blow me away. That's grown a lot since I was then. since I was there. It really has, since Hendrika and I were there. It's not without their problems. Indeed, they have all sorts of issues. And that's the thing. When it comes to it, Duncan and Cindy handle it very well, but of course they also need some help. It's not just a case of sending them a dollar or sending them a nice note and say, look, peace be with you. It's a case of saying, well, what can we practically do? Buy some socks. Someone's heart is going to say, they like my socks in Australia. I mean, how amazing is that? Do we have a little bit of time if we're going across to Europe? We were on a mission. We had almost no time. We cut some of our time out of Holland, and that was where Hendrika was born, and that's where we want to spend our time. So we took 3 days out of that, and it all worked well. And I have to say, of all the things which we did in Europe, we saw the Eiffel Tower. We did some things in London. We did all, but the heart is in Riga. Because we saw these things and we saw the people. It wasn't the blackness, it wasn't the snow, it was the warmth of the human beings and the Riga Ecclesia, and I have to say, it was purely amazing. Duncan and Cindy really do need the support, both financial, of course, if we can, that's an easy thing to do. But it really is easy to do a talk, to get involved with the community and go and have a chat with them. All we really need to do is think about who are these people? And actually that's easy. We think about Christ. Because, as I mentioned before, he was a homeless person. He was unloved by so many people. He was despised by people, as these folk are too. And if we put Christ in our heart, we say, what was Jesus like? We can talk with these people. And I have to say, on a practical level, it's an easy thing to do. Basically, they're so hungry for information, first they absorb, and then, I have to say, they hijack the conversation, which was just fantastic. If you can go, do support them in any way you possibly can. And I guess that's all I've really got to say, and I reckon I've been able to get over my time. And he's been quiet. Are there any comments or questions, please?